When the Cliftons were not with us, they were based in Cairo. Clifton doing other work for the English, God knows what, an uncle in some government office. All this was before the war, but at that time the city had every nation swimming in it. The Cliftons were a popular young couple with honour between them, and I was on the periphery of Cairo society. They lived well, a ceremonial life that I would slip into now and then, dinners, garden parties, events I would not normally have been interested in, but now went to because she was there. I am a man who fasts until I see what I want. How do I explain her to you? With the use of my hands? She had been part of the expedition for almost a year. I saw her, conversed with her. We had each been continually in the presence of the other. Later, when we were aware of mutual desire, these previous moments flooded back into the heart, now suggestive, that nervous grip of an arm on a cliff, looks that had been missed or misinterpreted. I was at that time seldom in Cairo, there about 1 month in three. I worked in the Department of Egyptology on my book, Récente Exploration dans le désert libique, as the days progressed, coming closer and closer to the text as if the desert were there, somewhere on the page, so I could even smell the ink as it emerged from the fountain pen, and simultaneously struggled with her nearby presence, more obsessed, if truth be known, with her possible mouth, the tautness behind the knee, the white plane of stomach, as I wrote my brief book, 70 pages long, succinct and to the point. I wished to dedicate the monograph to her voice, to her body that I imagined rose white out of a bed like a longbow, but it was a book I dedicated to a king, believing such an obsession would be mocked, patronized by her polite and embarrassed shake of the head. I began to be doubly formal in her company, a characteristic of my nature, as if awkward about a previously revealed nakedness. It is a European habit. It was natural for me, having translated her strangely into my text of the desert, now to step into metal clothing in her presence. The wild poem is a substitute for the woman one loves or ought to love. One wild rhapsody, a fake for another. On Hassanein Bey's lawn, the grand old man of the 1923 expedition, she walked over with a government aide and shook my hand, asked me to get her a drink, turned back to me and said, "I want you to ravish me." It was as if she had handed me a knife. Within a month I was her lover. I sank to my knees in the mosaic-tiled hall, my face in the curtain of her gown, the salt taste of these fingers in her mouth. We were a strange statue, the two of us, before we began to unlock our hunger. Her fingers scratching against the sand in my thinning hair, Cairo and all her deserts around us. Was it desire for youth, for her thin, adept boyishness? Her gardens were the gardens I spoke of when I spoke to you of gardens. There was that small indentation at her throat we called the Bosphorus. I would dive from her shoulder into the Bosphorus, rest my eye there. I would kneel while she looked down on me.